It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
What's up, everybody? This is Stick to Football, Bleacher Report's college football and NFL draft podcast. The boys, we are doing some college football today. We are at LSU. It's Monday morning when you listen to this. It's Saturday morning. It's morning. When we record this, we're drinking beers at LSU in Baton Rouge. It's a beautiful 80-degree day. The Block Party Presents, people hooked us up. We got a 10 by 20 tent. We got natties on natties on natties.
We got breakfast beers. We got screwdrivers. We got mimosas.
Chick-fil-A. We sound like a bar. Like, this is a radio commercial for a bar. Come on down to Stick to Football. We got beers on beers on beers.
You should.
What have I got to do to put you in a tailgate today? That's what I want to know.
It's a car salesman. We're going to have a fun show. Our boy Jacob Hester, an LSU legend, stopped by. We had a lot of fun talking to him. And warning, he told us all after the show, I forgot it was a podcast. I'm used to doing radio. I would have said fuck.
Yeah, and he thought he wasn't enough for the Super Bowl.
And he's so upset.
So don't judge Jacob Hester.
We will get him back on the show. The last white running back to rush for 1,000 yards in the SEC. Little known fact.
Ever.
That's a record to be proud of.
Yeah, that's
the world will be extinct. It won't happen again.
It is going to be a fun show. We got Jacob Hester. We're going to take live draft on draft questions. So hopefully you did come by the tailgate and asked your question. But one thing I want to get to, because this is a draft podcast, Thursday night, as Mello and Austin and I are making our way down through the great state of Arkansas, and that's full of sarcasm, Eli Manning did something. I don't know if it's played football, wet the bed.
Made faces.
Yeah, like disappointed his dad and brother. I mean, he did something out there. It's time for the New York Giants to start thinking about their next quarterback. I don't personally think it's Kyle LaLetta. And now we have without a great quarterback situation. So I want to open this up. The New York Giants are probably going to have a top five pick. Do you move heaven and earth to get Justin Herbert from Oregon? Or is this maybe the guy we're about to see in a couple hours, is it a wait for Jake Fromm type year?
I mean, I go with the latter. I think my biggest question has become, does Justin Herbert declare? I mean, you talk to anyone near Oregon, and they're not sure of it. His brother's coming in as a four-star tight end. It's no secret that they want to play together.
Melo's playing soccer while you talk.
Melo has left us to play soccer. This is what happens when you do the show from the tailgate.
When you look
at this situation, though, there's no guarantee that Justin Herbert's in this draft class, and then what do the Giants do? So I think they need to lay out multiple scenarios of how to figure this thing out. They've rode the Eli Manning train for a couple years too long now, and it's really come back to blow up in their face here.
Especially if you look at Geno Smith's Twitter. Holy shit.
I mean,
Connor, you talk about they should have laid it out and looked at it. They should have done that shit last year.
Exactly.
They should have known we have five good quarterbacks in this draft. I'm not counting Lamar Jackson. I'm counting Mason Rudolph.
Oh, God.
They should have taken a quarterback.
But you counted Josh Allen?
What? Yeah.
All right.
Don't bring up the tattoo. But they should have done this last year and looked at the draft class and said, okay, we've got to get our hands on a quarterback. They shit the bed last year, and now everybody is saying they've got to address the quarterback. They should have done it already.
I saw a great tweet from Daniel Jeremiah and was like, well, let's think about this. Would you rather have Saquon Barkley and Justin Herbert, or would you rather have Sam Darnold and
Nick Bosa?
Maybe Nick Bosa. Ed Oliver.
Here's my question. Would you rather have Saquon Barkley going for 100 yards and nice highlights, but you're losing by 25 points every week, or a good team?
Well, let's talk about Justin Herbert. He is the number one quarterback in the presumptive class. We all think that maybe he declares, maybe he doesn't. It's very open-ended. And Mello and I talked about this a lot on Thursday and Friday. When you talk about Justin Herbert to NFL teams, and yeah, there's a band in the background. I'm going to sing in a second. I don't care. There's a helicopter, too. When you talk about Justin Herbert, the one thing you hear is he's not ready for a big city.
There's not a bigger city than New York.
No. Is he going to be able to handle it mentally? And I know a lot of people don't like that when you talk about, oh, you don't know this. Yeah, we do. We know this.
You keep hearing it. So it's not like I know Justin Herbert and I'm like, nope, dude can't handle New York. We're getting that information from people that know Justin Herbert.
I just want to point out there's a man in overalls behind you that are striped.
Woo!
What's up, buddy?
Go Tigers!
There we go. He is the embodiment of LSU. Drinking Natty Light.
That's
cheers,
right,
buddy.
Yeah.
There we go. I love LSU already.
Awesome.
Yeah, this is amazing. So with Justin Herbert, I think, Connor, something you and I have talked a lot about, Will he declare? I think now we go to should he, because when you look at 2020, you have to deal with Jake Fromm. You have to deal with Tua. Like, they're, the quarterback class of 2020 looks good. So wouldn't you, if Justin Herbert's family calls you and says, number one, what do you do with that hair? Number two, should he declare for the draft? You're going to say yes.
I mean, when the money comes, you come and take it. I don't care that – I understand that you want to play with your brother. I understand that you might want to come back and try to win a Pac-12 championship. There's nothing wrong with that. But at the end of the day, when the draft advisory board sends you a first-round grade and you know you're going in the top 10 and you know you have a chance to play for the New York Giants, which is – let's be real, guys – a rookie quarterback gets to throw to Odell Beckham and hand the ball to Saquon Barkley?
Right.
That's not bad.
And once they get that quarterback, they'll figure out the line. They'll get some pieces.
Totally. I think when we do look at these situations, now guys do go back to school. It does happen. But it's
rarely.
It's rare at this point.
I mean, let's talk about it.
Rare.
Mitch Trubisky, oh, he should go back. Nah. No, he shouldn't. Josh Allen, oh, he should go back. No. Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen. Guys, don't go back because you're going to make $50 million as a top five pick at quarterback. And I think – Melo, I'll give you credit. You were the first person to tell me, hey, with Justin Herbert, you need to look into this because there's a lot of talk that he's not mentally tough.
Yeah. Well, and you talk about mentally tough, too. But if he goes back to school, he's QB3.
Yes. Like, automatically.
We have two great sophomore quarterbacks right now. So if he goes back, he's QB3. That might even push him out of the first round.
It absolutely could. These are like the things that happen behind the scenes in October that you don't think about, like, because when we get to April, it's just we talk about the draft class. But right now it's this you know, domino stacking of who's going to be in this class as a quarterback prospect. And so if Justin Herbert doesn't declare and Dwayne Haskins doesn't declare, and I'll tell you, I've said it a couple times on the show, no one at Ohio State is talking about leaving early except for Nick Bosa.
That's it.
Because they feel like they have a special group together. So they do not want to break that up.
They do.
They've definitely galvanized around the controversy there. I reached out to my guy at Ohio State a while back. He's like, hey, who are your underclassmen? He's like, we're not talking about it. We're not thinking about it. We got to beat Indiana this week or whatever.
And when when it comes down to it, Haskins waited to play. He should have been the starter last year. Ohio State was loyal to JT Barrett. This guy waited to play at his dream school. When he was a kid, he wanted to be the quarterback at Ohio State. Yeah. It's not crazy that he does play these next 2 years, not leaves after this one.
Cuter video. Dwayne Haskins in the locker room wearing the jersey, or Sam Ehlinger saying he wants to be Chris Sims.
Man, they're both so good.
Is this like BR bias and Texas bias?
No, you can be honest. Like, yeah, you can be honest.
I mean, I think it's Sam Ehlinger.
Yeah, I'm Chris
Probably
Sims.
Just because he's a cute fucking little kid, man.
Team Haskins.
Y'all know, I love our boy Sims, but Sam Ehlinger ain't wearing one out there. He's wearing 11. So maybe he wanted to be Major Applewhite.
Catch all that shade. I don't know if that's from the tent or Matt.
Oh, man.
All right, y'all. We told you we had an awesome guest stopping by the LSU tailgate. We got our boy Jacob Hester, one of my favorite radio shows that I do, going out talking about draft prospects. You guys have a lot of them at LSU this year. That's where I want to start this, man, because you're down here all the time. You're around these players. You've got Devin White, Greedy Williams, maybe some players you hope don't come out early, but we're going to talk about it because they're too good. What are those guys like from your perspective as somebody that did this and had a long NFL career too?
Yeah, Devin White's a special player. And what's amazing is he was really a running back in high school. So this is only his third year playing linebacker. So to be able to do what he's doing is special. He's the ultimate team leader. And then Greedy Williams, man, what he's been able to do at cornerback. It's why when Tre'Davious White was here, it's kind of like quarterbacks don't even look on that side right now. And it's been fun to watch those guys grow. My brother's actually coached Greedy Williams in high school. And so I've got a chance to really see him grow to be the player that he is now. And look, you want those guys to stay, but I think you know that those guys are pretty highly rated. And when a guy's that highly rated, you can't tell him to stay in school.
Well, talking about someone that's not eligible for the draft but that has been an absolute star, Grant Delpit. I think when Jamal Adams left, you know, there's a lot of questions about who would take over on the back end, who can handle a versatile role. And Delpit's been that guy. How do you see him in this defense? He's handled, he's played up front, played on the back end. And what does he mean to this LSU defense?
Well, he's been the MVP of the defense. And that's with saying you got two first rounders in Greedy and Devin sitting right there. He's the guy that, look, right now with the loss of Kalavon Chase on, they're looking for a guy to rush the passer, and they've gotten it out of a safety. He's kind of done it at all three levels. He's been on the line of scrimmage, he's been in the box, and he's played a deep safety. So he's been able to do it all for LSU. issue, he's been key for him. He went down in the spring with a collarbone deal, and thank goodness it was only a collarbone, because when he went down, everybody thought it was a shoulder, and everybody was holding their breath because everybody knew what he was going to mean to this defense. So he's by far been the MVP for me, and I think for a lot of the fans and coaches.
How do you compare someone like Delpit to Jamal Adams, who you and I were just talking about? Like, I mean, when Jamal came through here, you and I had a lot of conversation about this dude's special,
yeah,
not just on the field, but off the field. And now we're seeing that with the Jets, how important he is. How does Delpit fit in that type of line from Jamal now to another great safety?
I mean, he's coming to be on that Jamal type of level. And if you're LSU, man, you're very fortunate to have those guys back-to-back. Yeah. To be able to have a Jamal Adams and then have a Grant Delpit. And look, I know everybody claims to be DBU. LSU is
That's
one of those schools, right?
And
they've got a claim to it, right? And so those guys always communicate with each other, and I think that's good. Jamal's always communicating with Grant, even though Jamal's in the NFL now. Tre'Davious communicates with Greedy. And I think those things help, right? Those experiences, those guys have all been through it, and they stay in touch pretty close.
So you said that LSU, you know, talk about DBU. Are you counting Texas in that conversation, or are you just like, that's the true DBU, and then like?
I think there's four teams. I think there's four teams that can have a claim to it. It's LSU, Florida, Ohio State, and Texas.
Yeah, I agree.
I think anybody outside of that would be lying.
Yeah.
Look, obviously I'm biased, but when you look at LSU and what they've had with Patrick Peterson, with the Honey Badger, with Morris Claiborne, with Tre'Davious White, Jamal Adams, Laron Landry. I mean, they've had really a bunch of elite defensive backs the last couple of years, but so have those other schools. I mean, I think those are the only four teams that can even say DBU.
Yeah, so a lot of people don't know, but how important is the number 18 to LSU? Because, like, that's a big deal down here that I feel like you all know about, and if you're a student here, you probably know about. The players definitely do, but I feel like nationally, 18 is not as well known as it should be, and you know a lot about it.
Yeah, no, it's been fun to be a part of that tradition. There's actually the number 18 jersey now in the College Football Hall of Fame. Matt Mock's jersey's there. And so Matt Mock won a championship here in 03. And for some reason, he picked me as a freshman to wear the number 18, and it's kind of grown. And Louisiana was the 18th state to come into the Union. There's some history behind it. And now I just kind of they kind of claim it as the ultimate Tiger. And I was fortunate enough to wear it for 4 years, and we've passed it down. I think we're on our 12th 18 wear now with Foster Morrow. Tre'Davious White's worn it. Benny Logan, who's playing for the Titans still, worn. And so it's been a fun tradition. We have a group text that we all kind of mess with each other through. And so you never know what you're going to get in the number 18 group text. And so it's been a fun part to be part of a tradition like that at LSU.
Well, I think for us covering the draft, it's been easy to identify that, you know, really the identity of the LSU offense with Leonard Fournette and then Darius Geis, even DJ Chark last year. We've been spoiled by their offensive talent. How have you seen that change this year with really the spotlight's been on Joe Burrow for once, the quarterback position? You know, how has that been different this year for the Tigers?
Well, I'll tell you what, it's good to have stability at quarterback. Yeah. It's good to have a guy that the coaches trust to be able to change the play at the line of scrimmage, to be able to do some different things and say, hey, this is your offense, we're going to give you the keys. And he's grown. I mean, he's a guy that didn't play at Ohio State, but he had a lot of maturity. He's come in, he's changed the offense up. Look, coming into this year, they had Foster Morrow, Sadiq Charles as starters. Everybody else was going to be somebody new because you lost Garrett Brumfield to injury. So right now you've got a whole bunch of young guys, but they're going out there, and for me, they've exceeded expectations.
So I'll ask the hard questions that they don't want to. How exciting is it to actually have a quarterback at LSU this year?
Well, look, I do radio with Matt Flynn, who was the championship quarterback here in 07, and that was always kind of the joke. Like, we hadn't had a quarterback in a decade since Flynn. You know, Mettenberger had some really nice seasons, and Danny Etling, for all the criticism he took, he was 16 touchdowns, 2 interceptions a year ago. But now you've got a guy that's dynamic, can make plays, can make the throws, can get you in all the right spots. And look, it's the position that when recruiting starts, when everything starts, it's like, who are we going to get a quarterback at LSU? Because, you know, everybody talks, well, it's defense, run the football, and you couldn't find a way to
win
a quarterback.
We're Texas fans. We get it, man. Yeah, we know. We know exactly how it goes. Like, right. Who wants to transfer? Like, can we get Kelly Bryant maybe? Fun question for you. LSU versus everyone else. If you guys did like 7-on-7, LSU wins, right? I mean, you got OBJ out there. You got yourself. You got Jamal.
Jarvis Landry.
Yeah. Like, 7-on-7, LSU against any other college. Where do you guys stack up?
I'll definitely take us, but I'm glad you were nice enough to throw my name in there. I would go from a running back to a fullback, try to get maybe a mismatch on like a middle linebacker or something. Because I'm pretty sure number 7, Leonard Fournette, would be the running back.
We're hoping you can play both ways of the ball. Like,
maybe
you play a little linebacker in there too.
Oh, yeah. Snap the ball in.
Maybe they let me get on one knee and snap it to the quarterback.
Yeah.
That'd be a lot of fun.
Right. You can be the team captain at least.
There you go. No, LSU, man, as y'all know, man, they've always had receivers, running backs, skill position. They've always had it covered. I guess why, you know, Joe Burrow had to be our quarterback now, though.
Yeah.
And our 7-on-7 battle.
Jamarcus Russell's probably not doing anything. We can probably get him out here to throw the ball.
J-Russ didn't suck. he could get on one knee and throw like 70 yards.
Right.
So, yeah, 7-on-7, we got Jamarcus. That's true.
One question that we get so often from the fans is, you know, you look at players in the NFL, such a large percentage come from LSU. Why do you think this university specifically develops NFL talent, not just college talent?
Well, I think the state of Louisiana, man, when you start talking high school football and recruiting rankings, yes, California and Texas and Florida might have more, but per capita, I think the most NFL players come from Louisiana. I mean, New Orleans is an embarrassment of riches when you go watch high school football in the city of New Orleans. And I think that has a lot to do with it. Those guys stay in state. Then obviously they get here in the SEC program and have continued success, but I think it starts at the high school football level. For this, the size of the state that Louisiana is, it really has some national powers. I mean, I was fortunate enough to win a national championship in high school at Evangel Christian back in 1999, and now they've got University High, which is on LSU's campus. They're number 7 in the country, and so it's pretty crazy for the size of the state to have that much talent.
All right, I'll ask you one last question, and this is going to run Monday morning, so we're dating ourselves a little bit, but we got to find out who you think is going to win this game. I mean, you're walking around in LSU gear. You're a legend here, but who's going to win the game today?
Look, I'm expecting a hard-fought battle. I really am. And it's – look, LSU's been tested twice. When you look at the Auburn game, when you look at last week against Florida, I think that's going to help them out when it gets into the fourth quarter. I expect it to be a close game. Georgia hasn't had to play in a fourth quarter yet. They've only thrown 12 passes in the fourth quarter all year long, and we're in week 7. So I think LSU wins 24-20. That's not just being biased. Obviously, I've got my purple and gold glasses on, but I'm going 24-20 the Tigers.
All right, there it is. Thanks again, Jacob. We appreciate you, man. Everybody check him out on Twitter. You got a great radio show. It's on at night, which is great. Like, you get on the drive home from work, listen to it, check it out. Everybody make sure you follow our guy Jacob Hester. Thanks, man.
It's easier to get guests at night instead of the 7 a.m.
Let me tell you, man.
Yeah,
you text me like, hey, you come on at 6 tonight? Yeah, I'm good. Yeah, 6 in the morning? No.
Yeah.
Not coming on. Yeah, that's great. It's smart marketing.
That's right. Appreciate it, guys.
All right, y'all. We're still down here at Baton Rouge. We're ready to drink some beer. So it's time to do some draft on draft questions where normally you send in your questions, Reddit, Twitter, Instagram. Today you just stop by and ask your questions. Our boy Luke wearing a Red Sox jersey out here ready to roll.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
He's rocking the Natties. Go Sox. I'm all for it since the Royals aren't in the playoffs. You got a question, my man. Let's get him a microphone. You got a question. You've been hanging out. What's your question, buddy?
Yes, sir. Roquan Smith or Devin White?
Ooh.
That's a good
one.
Damn.
I'll take it. I'll take it, and I might piss off some of our fans, but
thank God it's you and not me.
What we saw Roquan do last year, all year long, was special.
I
think Devin White is great. I think he's the best linebacker in this class so far. But Roquan, that's a top 10 linebacker. That's hard to do. Devin
Roquan is Reuben Foster without an arrest record.
I mean, he's so athletic. I want to see him play more physically. And he could still do that.
That's
early
fair.
In the year.
I actually agree. I would take Roquan Smith. I think the football IQ. And I still see with Devin White some false
Luke
steps at times. But here's what I'll say for you, Luke. Devin White will probably be a higher draft pick than Roquan Smith was because of the way the 2019 draft class looks.
Bold.
You're not going to have those quarterbacks pushing him down the board like we saw with Roquan. I still want Roquan to be a Niner.
I'm
still
pissed. I can see what you mean there.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to sound like I'm hating on White. Like, I think he's amazing.
My number three
we just
player.
Loved Roquan Smith. It's simple as that. Top 10 as an off-ball linebacker is not easy to do.
If you kick the shit out of Oklahoma, I love you. Like, you're a long
time. There's the bias here. There's the bias.
There's the truth. All right.
Well, hey, if we 0-for-1, I got one more for you.
All right, let's do it.
Keep it going.
DBU, Greedy or DeAndre?
Oh, greedy.
Greedy.
It's greedy.
Easy.
It's greedy.
It ain't close.
At least we
it ain't
split.
Close.
Yeah.
At least we split.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, y'all had Champ Bailey, so you had a pretty good corner back in the day at Georgia. But, I think Greedy is special. And then you got Grant Delpit coming up right behind him. So, you know, I say DBU's
DBU.
Texas. But, you know, we'll agree to disagree.
I don't know, man. Jamal Adams, Patrick Peterson, Mo Claiborne over the recent years.
Texas is definitely
Tigers
more
here.
Back in the day. You know, Michael Huff.
Enough.
The Griffin boys.
It's been a minute.
But Caden Stearns is going to bring it back.
Now that we're back.
We're back.
We'll see.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Luke, for hanging out, man.
Hey, you got Stingley coming, too.
Hey, Mike Thomas, best receiver in the NFL, right?
By far.
There we go.
By far.
My man agrees
with me. Wide receiver one.
All right, we got more questions to get to as we're doing our live draft on draft. All right, we got some Georgia fans. We got LSU. A lot of Georgia fans down here, man. There's a lot of red in LSU. All right, man.
Well, we're not too far away. We like to come down. We'd like
there
to
we
travel.
Go. You got
to
tell everybody your name and you're repping. What are you repping here?
A great
Name's
shirt,
Alex.
Number one.
Name's Alex.
In a great shirt.
Wearing a shirt. I got Sanford Stadium on my chest.
It's almost
drinking
like a Hawaiian
tequila straight. Can we talk about that?
Yeah. He's been drinking. We met this dude at
Tiger
a gas station this morning.
Here.
This is a true story. We pulled into a gas station, and he's got a bottle of Don Julio and some ice. And we're like, this dude knows how to party. Come to our tailgate.
Nothing with it, just the tequila.
Yeah, and he's feeling it. So let's get to this
question. Probably in the right town, Baton Rouge. These people get me down here.
There you go. All right, man.
Great show so far. Would love to hear your perspective on the game today. What do you think is going to happen? What do you think is the X factor in the win? For whoever wins, what do you think
is the
X factor?
I think the X factor, a lot of people are going to say Jake Fromm or the running backs for Georgia. I think the X factor is the Georgia defense. I still don't believe that LSU can score enough points to beat Georgia. And I know we had our guy Hester on earlier, and he talked about the consistency at quarterback finally for LSU. I just don't see it. LSU has been known for the power run game with Fournette and Darius Geis. They don't have it this year. They don't have it up front with the offensive line either. So I think Georgia, I know you're young, a little bit younger on the D-line and in the front seven this year, but I think Georgia's defense is too good for LSU.
I think for me, it's can this LSU defense make Jake Fromm make a mistake? And not a lot of teams have been able to do that over the last 2 years. I think this defense can. I think they did it against Jared Stidham.
Well, this is your secondary.
Yeah. When it comes down to it, you look at what Grant Delpit could do, and I know they have him playing in the front seven a lot now, but Greedy Williams, can you get the turnover, and not just get the turnover, but bring it back to the house? Because you got to give this offense some points.
I'm not throwing a Greedy side of the field.
No, I wouldn't either.
I mean, I don't know if you put Ridley over there. I don't know who you put over there, but you're not throwing to him today. Like, maybe you flex somebody out and ignore him.
What do you think,
Mello?
I'm with you, Matt. I think just like seeing what Georgia defense can do this Saturday, it's going to play a huge part in this game. Can LSU score some points? Georgia's defense, they're not what they were last year, so I think that would be the X factor. And then seeing if Georgia can get their running game going. This is a very nasty defense that they're going up against. So if they can get their running backs going, I think this is going to be an easy game for them.
Yeah, it is all about the turnovers on defense. I mean, LSU has the names, right? I mean, they have Devin White. They have Greedy Williams. They have Grant Delpit. But let's not forget about DeAndre Baker. Georgia's got a pretty good fucking corner, too, who has size, and we've seen ball skills from him this year, and also tackling ability from DeAndre Baker. There have been so many games where he's laying on his back, and he pops up and makes a key tackle. So I don't want to sleep on DeAndre Baker either.
Great points. Great points.
And my man's finishing a bottle of Don Julio. You have a tradition, right?
We do have a tradition. We went up to South Bend last year, polished off a bottle of 1800, and got a win at Notre Dame. So we're hoping for the repeat here at LSU.
SEC championship game. Y'all might need to be there. Because you need that Don Julio in Atlanta for the SEC championship game.
Absolutely. That's going to happen no matter what.
All right. We love the tailgating spirit. Our guy Austin, interning with us for the weekend. Lovely gentleman, very tall, held the sign for us. Bigly, he has a lot of friends. You've been hoarding draft on draft questions, I believe, right?
Yes.
He's got like 12 of them.
We got a couple great ones here. Starting off, how would you compare the tailgate atmosphere here at LSU compared to your other stops that you guys have been to so far this year?
I like it. We're also, we're in the Block Party Village, which is like it's high-end tailgating. And it works great for us because we roll up, they unload our stuff, and we're in this amazing 10x20 tent. There's a band behind us. There's cornhole. The folks are starting to trickle in. So I think this is a great spot. I will still maintain that the most fun we've had this year so far, it's only 10:45 in the morning, was at the University of Texas, though.
Right on. And another quick question we got here. Which players are you guys most excited to see play today? I know you guys have kind of already answered that question, but just for all three of you, which ones are you most excited individually to see yourself?
I'll tell you who I have the most questions about from a pro perspective that everyone loves is Baker. I want to see him turn around and play the ball in the air. I want to see him mirror receivers. I think he's a very good player.
I thought you were talking about the short, chubby quarterback.
No, God, dude. I know Greedy Williams is a round one player. I know Devin White has made himself now into a round one player. My question is DeAndre Baker going to be a round one
and
player?
And I want to piggyback off that because I'm excited to see Jake Fromm. Y'all know that. I love Jake Fromm. But I want to see Greedy Williams because we have touted this man as corner one. But I'll tell you, there's a guy at Clemson named Trayvon Mullen who is coming for his title. So I want to see Greedy in person, the length, the speed, the instincts. Does he live up to it? And I know we're probably not going to see a lot of throws at him today, but I do want to see what Greedy can do in person. Last year, we went and saw Denzel Ward in person, and I stumbled out of that stadium and told you this is my top corner,
CB1,
man.
CB1, not even close.
Exactly. So I want to see the same from Greedy, because we've got DeAndre Baker. We have the guys at Ohio State. We have Trayvon Mullen. There's some damn good corners out there right now. So definitely want to see what he's all about. Melo, who are you most excited to see, buddy?
The running backs at Georgia. I know that they're maybe not draft eligible this year, but it's never too early to start looking at those guys, especially when they're going against guys like Devin White and Greedy Williams. And you know that Coach O is going to have that defensive line ready to go.
I can't believe that Holyfield doesn't have some kind of belt that he puts on after he scores.
Every touchdown.
Like, how do you not? Your dad was Evander Holyfield. Or he should, like, bite people when
he
scores.
No, they should come out of, like, the gate, and he's leading it, and everybody else is, like, the boxing entourage with him. Like, put a fucking hood over
him. His touchdown celebration should be the ear spit. All right, we got another draft-on-draft question. Our guy Mike, is that what I heard?
Yeah, Mike.
I have great hearing. So. Yeah,
very good, very good. Quick question. So, when Jake Fromm throws 1-3 interceptions in the first quarter, and Fields starts playing 50% of the time moving forward, is that, what's that going to do to his draft status?
It'll kill it. It'll kill it. I don't think it'll happen, but it'll kill it. I mean, it's a unique situation, right, where you have, going back to Jacob Eason, you got three basically number one quarterbacks committing to the same school. So it's going to be fascinating to see if Fromm struggles, what happens. If they do panic and put Fields in, because man, I know Georgia fans on Twitter will tell me that Fields is the best quarterback on the team. The backup's always the most popular guy, but it is, man, it's crazy to see. But I can't see anything rattling our guy Fromm. No disrespect, he's got an LSU polo on, so I don't want to get punched right here. But if anyone could do it, we'll get a six football t-shirt. If anyone can rattle Jake Fromm, though, I do think it's going to be LSU, because you have a big physical safety and you have a shutdown corner. Like, a true shutdown corner. And you got a rangy linebacker that can take away the run on the inside. So it's gonna be fun. I'm ready to get in there in a couple hours. Hopefully remember the game.
Two more questions that are pretty quick.
Keep them coming.
And first one, it's in a weird order. Do you think LSU's crowd is going to affect the game at all?
Always.
No. I do.
No.
Always.
No, there's so many Georgia fans here.
No. It might look like there's a lot here. They only sell like 6,000 Georgia tickets.
I'm colorblind, but I see a lot of red.
But I'll tell you why. It's because this is the like paid tailgate. There are fucking students all over Baton Rouge right now that are tailgating because they can't do it here because they're not 21. Like, we know what's up.
We know
Baton
what's up,
Rouge is going to come, and they're going to play a huge, huge role.
I wish it were
in
a night game. I wish this were a night game, because Death Valley at night would have been, I mean, we would have raged. So I know they would have raged.
We're going to learn a lot about Jake Fromm today. That's what I'll say.
This is his first, like, truly, I think, tough road game where you're like, man,
other
I don't know
than
what's going to happen.
Championship.
Yeah. Yep. All right. You got one more?
Yeah.
Right?
Follow up question to that. Have you ever been to LSU game?
No, this is our first time, man. Yeah. Yeah. Good follow up. Yeah. I like how you played that. Damn it.
Matt has definitely not been to LSU.
That's how you get the stick to football guys.
Yeah. No. I'll tell you though.
Just kidding. I love these guys.
I love Baton Rouge. It's amazing. But it does seem like a lot of Georgia fans right here. But y'all be loud in there, man. Right.
Hey,
be loud in there.
Love y'all.
Yeah. Appreciate you, man. We have the greatest fans in the world. I just want to say that. Amazing. So we got more. Oh, we got more.
Keep
we got a
coming,
line.
Keep them coming. Tiger Shins.
We should have to hand you a beer when you ask a question.
I like it.
Yeah,
I like
that's
it.
Fair.
What are you drinking, though?
We're going middle of the light right here, but
I don't want to say anything in case of future sponsorships. So hey, I just want
we love all beer.
Yeah. Just want to keep it quiet. So, all right, man. What's your question? He's got the accent. This is a real Louisianian.
Hey, I like it. I mumble all day. So just get me down. And we didn't like cut the tape or anything. We'll be all right. But I didn't have too much. Best defensive line prospect. I mean, Rashard Lawrence. Brandon Fajoco, are y'all too familiar with them at all? Or
nah. Rashard Lawrence's summer actually jumped out to me. I'll say that because
I think
it's easy every summer. You're going to go watch the LSU defense because the underclassmen are always going to be making plays.
Well, and if Chaisson had got hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the guy we were all about.
Oh, my God. He looks so good.
Let's talk about an edge that's going to get 12 sacks this year in the SEC, and then he tears the ACL. So it did set it back a little bit. But like Connor said, when you want to watch D-line, you go to, okay, well, let's watch LSU. Let's watch Florida.
Alabama.
These guys are always going to be great up front. So I think LSU's best pro prospect is Devin White, though.
Oh, yeah.
I mean.
Easily. I mean, no doubt.
You know, like, I'm not sure if you were here for it. We had Jacob Hester on. He talked about Devin as, you know, a great athlete who's now learning to play linebacker. And it's like Miles Jack back in the day of, you just got this dude who's more athletic than everybody else.
He was a running back coming in. Right. Or I guess athlete, but still.
He was a running back.
Good high school running
right.
back.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, we're excited, man, to get out there. And part of the fun of being on the road is you have those guys that you're going to get the roster and you're going to circle your guys you think you're watching, and then somebody pops out. And
exactly.
It might be Rashard Lawrence where you're like, I remember watching Wyoming last year to watch Josh Allen, and you're like, holy shit, Andrew Wingard's pretty good safety, or Carl Granderson's a good edge. So that's really part of the benefit for us being down here, not just to meet y'all, but to see some of these players that we don't have on our list yet. So it's going to be a lot of fun, man.
Is the Aranda's 3-4 defense, just watch and see. I mean, you know, just clog up the middle and hold the front up. So.
Well, we know all about Orlando's defense as Texas fans. So, yeah, man, it's gonna be a lot of fun out there today. And, yeah, I mean, who's going to win, though?
I mean, hey, I think it's going to be an electric atmosphere. I think it's going to be the difference. It's going to be like 0-3, I think, a remake of that game. And I think it's going to be a close game all the way to the end and win it on a field goal.
Yeah, there you go, win it on a field goal. I was really hoping y'all beat Florida because this would have been a 2-5 game.
I think we're still going to bring it, though. It's going to be – I mean, even though it's a day game, I mean, beautiful atmosphere out here. I mean, you can't beat that. It's going to be rocking. So.
All right, man. We're looking forward to it. Cool. Looking forward to it. We got one more question, I think, and then we're going to close this sucker out. I didn't even know if it was a question. I think it might be a statement.
No.
This is fine. Philip from Baton Rouge. I have a take.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Yeah, exactly. So, last week against Florida, our best linebacker since...
ever.
Well, Jacob Phillips is out, man. He's a huge different maker now that he's going to be back this week. I think Christian Fullerton's completely underrated. He actually has better numbers than Greedy right now when he's thrown at. So I think it's kind of a lose-lose when Fromm's trying to throw to either side. As long as we can stop the run game, I think it's going to be good news for LSU defense. Well, but the run defense is very questionable. I'm not gonna deny that.
And you also talked about it, like the loss is the best thing that happened to you guys. Yeah, and I agree with you, like in a way. Like
it sucks.
College football, you don't want to lose, but it also makes your team refocus.
Right.
And they have to do that now with Georgia on the schedule. Yeah,
coming back home, focus, get back on track.
I'll tell you, man, we've been down. I don't want to sugarcoat it. We were not high on LSU this year. And y'all came out surprised this week one. We were like, oh, damn. Who are these guys? And all year. So then it's like we almost overcompensated. Like, oh, fuck, LSU's back. Kind of like Texas is back. Just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah.
But I think today you guys can make a statement. Like, is LSU truly a team that we have to think about as, you know, maybe being maybe not a playoff contender because of the way the SEC is, but like a legit team that's going to knock some people off?
Who's going to challenge Alabama? That's what we want to know right now. Let's call it like we see it. Yeah.
I don't know if anybody's going to challenge Alabama. Yeah, let's be honest.
The Georgia fans are getting loud right now, but they don't have to play Alabama every year. If they had to play them every year, they wouldn't be so confident.
Right. Yeah, no, we appreciate you, man.
Killers. Yeah. Hey, keep it up, man. We're glad to have y'all out here. Hope you have a good time.
Thank you very much.
All right, man. I think we got more. Oh my God, we got more.
All right, guys. So to go ahead and wrap this up real quick, one last question I think you guys are going to be a little excited to hear. Is Texas back after that OU win?
Texas is back. We're back.
I think so. Like, honestly, the way that they're playing, they better not shit their pants today against Baylor.
By the way, recording Saturday, you're here Monday. We don't know what happened in the Baylor game, but I'm terrified. I've told Mello for 3 days, I've had the poops, I'm so afraid of the Baylor game. I can't eat, I'm so afraid, because it's classic trap game.
It is, and Baylor is a tough team because they are going to have good offense under Matt Rhule. But I do think they are back. I know that I've said before, they were supposed to be conference champs before I labeled them that. But it was honestly because I never saw them beating Oklahoma this year.
Yeah, exactly.
So once they do that, they're in conference contention right now. And if they beat West Virginia, it's an easy road for them.
We might be seeing Texas as a playoff team. Like, seriously. I'm not saying it's one
weird Notre Dame loss away from it probably, right?
Right, because, yeah. I mean, so the SEC, maybe they send two.
They'll
but
send
if Georgia
two.
Loses to Alabama late in the year and you have a team like Texas that can win out in the Big 12, or you have Notre Dame that can do it as an independent, Clemson's going to win the ACC.
We need eight teams. We need eight teams.
We do. That's what needs to be back.
Eight teams.
Bring some eight teams to this equation.
Yeah, man. All right, LSU, we appreciate you all. Thank you to our friends at Block Party Presents. This has been an awesome tailgate. We got a band in the background. We got Natty Lights open. Whiskey's got his Buffalo Trace. It's been a good day. It's going to be a great day. We're excited for LSU, Georgia. Thank you, as always, for listening. Stopping by with your questions. If you have more questions, send them in on Twitter, Reddit, Instagram. Connor and I will be back for the Wednesday morning show with some Stock Watch. Maybe another mock draft. We'll see what happens. It's going to be wild. Thank you again for listening. As always, subscribe, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast, we're Stick to Football.